Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast to coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com or jimblastinggame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you like to type, there's the long one for you. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter when you get there. It's free and it comes every week by email. Rebecca Banick, ladies and gentlemen, is the CEO and the chairman of the board of a company called Neutral Posture, Inc. And she's an award-winning businesswoman. She is an inspiration. When you hear her story, you will not only be inspired, you'll be inspired to say to yourself, you know what? You know, if she can come through some of the things she's come through and be where she is right now, I can do it too. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted her to tell the story. She Office Depot awarded her as a Businesswoman of the Year this year, and as you know, we've talked to some other people that Office Depot has recognized. She's been recognized in a number of other ways, but mainly she's been recognized because she's still in business and after some of the things she's gone through, and we're going to talk about that. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here, and let me say this up front. My audience knows that small business owners are my heroes, but you are really my hero now that I know about some of the things you've gone through.
Well, thank you.
Tell us about now. Your company makes chairs.
Yes, sir.
Primarily, you make chairs for offices. And folks, by the way, I have one of Rebecca's chairs, and this chair is it's what you call sneaky comfortable. That's what I'm going to call it, Rebecca. You know what I mean by that?
I do.
What I mean by that, folks, is I knew I liked it, but the more I sat in it, the more I liked it. It just kind of slips up on you, and it's pretty cool. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But, Rebecca, you're doing really well. The company's doing well right now. You went public in the 90s. You actually decided that you didn't like being public, and you went private again. But it hasn't always been so rosy, has it?
No, it hasn't.
What went on in the 80s?
Our first company started in 84, and as we started doing the research and development of the company, obviously that cost a lot of money. We got involved with a group at Texas A&M called InVent, which was the Institute for Ventures and New Technology, mm-hmm. and they helped us get going. Got a little bit of startup capital, not much, and so we just started down the road. No one even knew the word ergonomics back in the 80s. So we were trying to educate people about what ergonomics could do for them, and it was a real uphill battle.
Why don't you tell us, why don't you go ahead, just in case there's somebody who might not be sure what that word means, tell us what that means.
Basically, ergonomics is the study of how the body reacts with the work that it's performing and how to make it easier for the body to perform the work.
Whether that be eliminating carpal tunnel syndrome or the way your back is aligned when you're sitting at a computer or how your body reacts to standing all day, that kind of thing.
Right. If you're working on an assembly line, making mm-hmm. sure that everything's within your reach and
the
so
repetitive
forth.
Nature of all that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So by the time we finally got that company really going to where we had orders, we ran out of money. And we didn't have any money to buy the parts to make the chairs that we'd sold.
Could we say that you grew yourself out of business?
At that point, we really did because
you had more orders than you had capital to fill because your orders, you had business, but you weren't being paid fast enough to pay for to cover the growth.
Right.
And you didn't have the working capital to cover the growth.
Well, and in Texas in the mid-80s, when all the banks were going under,
yep. mm-hmm.
You know, the big oil bust, there was just no money to be had.
Nowhere to turn.
At that point, we had no other choice but to actually, the SBA foreclosed on the company.
Oh, my.
And so, you know, we had to go through the foreclosure auction and watch them auction off all of our goods and everything. And it took quite a while to get over that, probably 4 months of, you know, basically being pretty depressed. And,
yeah.
You know, finally I went to my parents and I said, look, we learned how to not do it.
Now this was a family business, wasn't it?
Right. It was a family business.
You and your father and your mother and even a brother, wasn't it?
And even my brother, right.
Uh-huh.
And so in January, the foreclosure auction was in July, and then in January we decided to give it another shot.
What were you thinking, Rebecca? I mean, my goodness, you've just gone through this horrible time. The economy in Texas was bad, and you'd had a foreclosure. I mean, what made you think that you wanted to do this again?
Well, I really felt that during the first company, we had gotten some bad advice. We had a lot of people that came to us as professionals on the outside that did these elaborate spreadsheets.
You were impressed with their credentials, weren't you?
I was very impressed with their credentials.
But they, as you say there in Texas, they were all hat and no cattle. Right? And she found out, folks, that failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work. And when we come back, we're going to tell her how she capitalized on that lesson. Right after these messages, 20 Tales, stay with us.
Then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock.
We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rebecca Bainick is our guest, and we're talking to her about her company, the one that she literally revived from the ashes of bankruptcy, like a phoenix, came right up out of those bankruptcy ashes back in the 80s, and she believed in her vision and said, you know what? What we were trying to do wasn't wrong. The way we were trying to do it was wrong. Would that be a fair assessment, Rebecca?
Very much so.
You were, and folks, I was telling Rebecca off the air, one of my goals in life is to endow a professor's chair at a university, and the only string attached to that endowment, and who knows when that'll ever happen, folks, if ever, but if the only string, Rebecca, that would be attached to that endowment would be that the person filling that slot would always have to be somebody who had 10 years at least of certified experience in the marketplace making a payroll before they could become a professor to teach business. What do you think?
I think that that's vitally important. That was one of our issues, was that the spreadsheets and everything looked really great, but meeting payroll on Friday wasn't happening.
These guys that were advising you didn't know anything about that, did they?
I don't know that any of them actually had ever been in the business world. It was all, pretty much from book learning.
Theory, uh-huh.
Right.
So you rose out of bankruptcy. You started your company over again with your mother, you and your mother.
Right.
Basically started it over again back in, about 89?
In 89.
All right. And so then what happened? What happened after that?
Well, another lesson we learned from the first company was that don't go out and spend the money that you don't have.
Uh-huh.
And so we really, bootstrapped the company. We started in the garage. We had a Macintosh computer, and we did all the accounting on Mac for the first 4 or 5 years, actually. And she would build the backrest, and I would build the seat pans. And to this day, I still can't make a backrest, and she can't make a seat. So we were a great team. I would go out and sell, and she would handle all of the paperwork. And
what a great story. Now, so you're literally manufacturing these chairs in your garage.
We were.
Selling them one at a time.
Right.
Now, folks, this is a story. I'm telling you, this is an inspirational story to me. Now you know why I call Rebecca one of my heroes. Okay, so then what caused you to think that, you know what, we need to get out of this garage. We need to go somewhere else.
Well, we finally got to where we could afford to move somewhere else, and we didn't have enough space in the garage anymore either. So we rented a building, and we were actually in that building up until 96. And in 96, we bought the building that we're in now.
Yeah.
And the building we're in now is 56,000 square feet.
Wow. In 96 you did that.
Right, in
96. So, folks, 7 years after total bankruptcy, total defeat, humiliation, and 4 months of depression?
Right.
you were back, weren't you?
Right. We were back.
And then you went public, didn't you?
Right. In October of 97, we went public.
What made you decide to do that?
The stock market was really a hot place to be right
then. Why not, huh?
And it sounded like a great idea.
Did somebody come to you and say, you need to go public, or was this your idea?
Actually, we brought a gentleman into the company that came in to be the president for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was just one of the things that he had done before. He had worked for a public company. And because the stock market was so hot, it just sounded like the thing to do so that, it helped us grow. We could use our our paper to make
get access to the markets for the for capital. So you didn't have to get all your money from a bank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
now, by the way, before you went, the day you went public, what were your sales, annual sales?
Right around $12 million.
So from bankruptcy to $12 million in sales in 7 years, that's the title of a book, Rebecca. When are you going to write that? Huh?
Well, it was really a lot of fun to get there. Going public was great.
Yeah.
Being public was terrible.
So you didn't like being a public company?
Not at all.
Too many eyeballs and under the basically you're in a fishbowl, aren't you?
You really are. And we went public at a bad time in 97, the stock market was just booming so much that we didn't understand that it was going to outgrow us very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
When we went public, a small cap was like a $30 million company. And so we were already under the radar. Well, within the next 9 months, a small cap became a $500 million company.
Right.
And so we weren't even a micro cap.
Mm-hmm.
No interest generated in a company that size. Plus the fact that we still had over 66% of the stock owned internally.
Wow.
And so,
nobody really all that interested in any more of your stock.
Right.
So the main reason you went public to get more capital really didn't materialize as well as you thought it would.
It didn't materialize at all.
Uh-huh.
And so after dealing with it for 3.5 years and the being public costs around $500,000 a year.
A year.
By the time you pay for your accountants and your lawyers.
That's right off your bottom line, folks.
Oh, yeah. And it's just, that's money that's just not doing anything to benefit your business. That's
wow.
just money that it takes to comply with all of the SEC regulations.
So almost $2 million later, you went private again.
Right.
Wow.
And we used the money that we had in the bank to buy back all the stock.
Mm-hmm.
That we didn't have to go borrow any money
mm-hmm.
to go private.
So how are you funding your growth now?
Just through cash flow.
Profits and cash flow and some bank debt, I guess, maybe?
Well, when you consider that this year we'll do almost $20 million in sales.
Wow.
Our total debt, including our building, is less than $700,000.
Congratulations.
I like that. I mean, the building appraises for about $1.5 million, and we owe around $450,000 on it,
right,
and about $250,000 on our line of credit. So very little debt.
Now, folks, see, this is what happens. You can actually be. It is possible to be not to be a small business, which Rebecca really is still a small business, and to not be undercapitalized. It is possible. It's rare, but you've just heard an example of that. We're going to take a quick break. We got more to come with our new friend Rebecca Bainick, who's the chairman of Neutral Posture, Inc. Kentel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having an outstanding visit with our new friend, Rebecca Bainick, who's the CEO and chairman of Neutral Posture, Inc. This is a success story extraordinaire. There's intrigue, there's failure, there's perseverance, there's leadership, there's courage, vision in this story, and I'm glad we're able to talk to you about it. By the way, her story is featured in a book called 9 Lies by Mary Contrando, that I guess you can find wherever books are sold, Rebecca, I'm sure, available at Amazon.
It's at Amazon and at Barnes & Noble,
okay.
Both of those on the Internet. I'm not sure it's all actually right. in the stores.
9 Lies by Mary Contrando. And also, Rebecca, give us your website where people can find out more about your chairs.
It's www.igoergo.com, IGOERGO.com.
Folks, they make chairs primarily. They've got a few other products, but primarily they make chairs. Your company started as a bad back chair company, right? You were helping people with bad backs?
Right. The original concept was to help people who had been injured to put them in a better posture so their back wouldn't hurt. My father's the designer of the chair, and he hurt his back as a fighter pilot in the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
and he pulled so many G's that it just hurt his back.
Compressed his vertebrae.
Right, and
yeah.
So this was his dissertation project when he went back to school to get his PhD, and I was his research assistant, so I helped with the design of the product.
So this started out as necessity is the mother of invention kind of thing.
Exactly.
And it grew through just a little family experience. into a $20 million company, folks. It went public. First it failed, totally, abject failure, bankruptcy, then rose out of the ashes, and now is $20 million having gone public and now gone private again. What a great story. Almost a little bit of a roller coaster there, Rebecca.
It was. But over the years, as people started to understand a little bit more about ergonomics, we had some of the companies that were smarter about these things to figure out that it's better to prevent the injuries than just to put a Band-Aid on the people we've already hurt.
Yep.
And that's what's really helped to catapult our success, is that we have some great research that backs up the product and shows that by using our chairs, you can actually reduce injuries, you can reduce workers' compensation costs, you can reduce lost work time, and all sorts of other things that actually just drop straight to the bottom line.
Well, folks, let me just say this. I actually have one of these things in front of me, as I said. This thing has got more adjustment paddles on it than I've ever seen in my life. Now, they're under the seat. They're hidden under the seat. But when I put mine together, I couldn't believe all the different adjustments that I could make to this chair. And folks, I sat in it at first, and I said, yeah, it feels okay, but what's the big deal? Well, what I found out was over a period of 4 or 5 days, I started noticing that I wasn't feeling bad. My legs weren't hurting, and my back wasn't aching at the end of the day as much. And so it's what she says about being ergonomic is true. Now, where can they be found?
Lots of different places. You can, on our website, there is a place where you can click and find out who the rep is in your area.
Okay.
And they can tell you the different dealers in your area. Also, Office Depot has a business services division, which is the part that actually sells more of the contract furniture, not just the chairs that you would find on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the new BSD catalog that actually is coming out this month.
Now, you got an Ask the Expert section on your website. They can ask a question about ergonomics, I guess?
Yes.
Can they order online from you?
No, they can't. And
okay.
And the reason that they can't order online is that we have 1,200 dealers across the country.
Right, and so you're staying true to your dealers. But
right.
they can find out where the dealers are on your website. But I see something here that says win a chair. What's that all about?
Oh, you just put your name in there, and every quarter we draw names of who's going to win the chair for that. Actually, I think we do it every month. So once a month, we draw names out of everybody who's entered. And
let me give you that website again, folks, so you can go put your name in the hat there. IGOERGO.com, IGOERGO.com, IGOERGO.com. And on the right there, you'll see a little button that says win a chair. So go there and fill that little whatever the form out is and see if you can win a chair, because I know you'll love it. Congratulations on your success. Congratulations. Office Depot recognized you as a Woman Business Owner of the Year. You've received a number of other recognition, Rebecca. And I want you to come back another time, and I want to spend time talking to you about the process of going public and the process of then going private again. Will you do that?
That'd be great.
I've enjoyed you being here. Thank you so much. Oh, and by the way, folks, another distinction, Rebecca's company was the only woman-owned business to ever be listed on the NASDAQ. Pretty impressive. Rebecca, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Rebecca Bainick, ladies and gentlemen, with Neutral Posture, Inc. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners just like Rebecca Bainick. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.